Lord, we give this to you. Amen. Okay, I have been thinking about this story lately. And it's the story of when the Israelites leave Egypt. Okay, so this is an Old Testament story back in Exodus, right? And these Israelites, right, they went to Egypt because of a famine. And then they just kind of stayed. They stayed in Egypt. And generation after generation, they stayed. And they grew prosperous. But eventually they were enslaved there. And so God heard their cries, though. And he set them free. They were freed from their slavery. But it's been a long time since they'd been at their homeland, right? Their homeland was almost a myth, right? And they had to go from what they knew, right, to a freedom that they had never experienced. That even their forefathers, right, even their fathers and their grandfathers and grandmothers, right, didn't even experience. They're moving to a home which they've never lived, to a blessing they've never tasted. And then they were scared. They were scared and they were unsure about where they're going and what they were doing. But they couldn't stay where they were at. So I've been thinking about this story, right? Because some of that sounds familiar, huh? And one of the things that stands out is how God revealed himself to the Israelites during this time. I'm going to read Exodus 13, verses 21 through 22. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud or by day or nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in the front of the temple. Okay, so God showed up for the Israelites, right? They had never seen God before, like visibly, right? Right? But this invisible God, right, like, was incarnate for them, right? It put on like some sort of physicality so that they could follow. So it was a clear sign, right, that God was with them, right? And God led them to the wilderness, right? God showed up in this personal, unique way and led them through this wilderness. Okay? So now they were still going to go to this promised land, but they had some of God with them, right? So they could follow him, they could interact with him, right? They knew, like, oh, when the cloud moves, I move. When the fire stops, like, we stop. Man, wouldn't that be nice? Don't you wish you had that? To, like, have a visible manifestation of God that you could interact with? Because sometimes, don't you feel like you're a little bit lost in the wilderness? And you could use a guide? You could use someone to show you, like, oh, what do you do? How do you do this? How do I maneuver my way through here? Now, in the Exodus story, the clouds and fires weren't really talked about too often for a while. But then there was this little incident with a golden calf. Right? Moses went up to a mountain, and he received some commandments from God. But while he was away, the Israelites down below, they built an idol. Right? They're tired of being lost. They're tired of being in the wilderness, and Moses, their leader, went away, and the clouds were up there with him. And then Moses came down. It's like, what is going on? And God was angry, but Moses interceded for his people. And so then the clouds and fire show up again. All right, this is 33, verses 7 through 10. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting, inquiring of the Lord. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tent, watching Moses until he entered the tent. And Moses went into the tent. The pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. while the Lord spoke to Moses. And whenever people saw a pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Okay. After the Israelites' infidelity, like cheating on God with this idol, God didn't leave them. Now, he's angry, and he was like, I'm going to destroy him. I'm just going to start again. You know, like you would be angry, right? But instead, this all leads to the construction of a tabernacle, okay? A movable temple, right? And there was a renewal of the covenant between the people of Israel and God. There was a renewal, okay, let's reestablish these parameters. Let's redefine this relationship, okay? Because you're in a different place, and I'm still God, so I'm kind of in the same place, but you've changed. And so how I deal with you is going to have to be a little bit different. Let's talk about this. And so they talk. And so this is Exodus 34:10. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never done in any nation of the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work I, the Lord, will do for you. Okay? Like, there's a renewal of this relationship that came out of this crisis of lack of faith. And that's what kind of what happens at crisis points, right? Like relationships kind of come into focus, right? And you can see, like, at crisis points, like, either you lean into this relationship or you leave it. You drift away, right? And so that's what happened. The people of Israel were at a crisis point. God is at a crisis point. Do I leave this relationship or do I lean into the relationship? And God leans in. God leans into this relationship. Then Exodus 40, 34 through 38. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting. That's the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled in it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all of Israel during their travels. Okay? Like, so the pillar of fire, God, like, is there in the midst of them. Like, They made it a home. They make it a home for the glory of the Lord, and they take it with them, and they follow this, right? Right? If the cloud goes, they go. The fire goes, they go. If it stops, hey, this is where we're stopping. This is where we're stopping for the night. The cloud is with them. God is with them. Okay? Through infidelity, through doubt, through grumbling, right? As you read through this, the Exodus story, and you read through the wanderings of the Israelites, remember that God is with them while they're grumbling. They're grumbling, like, about the, oh, we don't have any water. What are we going to do? We don't have any water. But they see God, like, right there, like, in this pillar of cloud right in front of them. They complain, like, oh, I don't have any. Oh, I'm so hungry. I'm so tired of eating this manna stuff. But there's this cloud, and like, right in front of them that they're following. God is with them over and over again. Now, I've been thinking about the story for the past few months as I've been thinking about this day, because let's face it, we're all on a journey through the wilderness. I mean, and you can make the case that our life, this side of glory, is a journey through the wilderness, but sometimes the wilderness seems exceptionally wild. Right, exceptionally unknown. And I would say the last 10 months have been like that. People have dealt with struggle of, like, relationships, struggles with employment, struggles with community, struggles with health, all related around this COVID pandemic, all right? And it's kind of brought up lots of little crises, like lots of things that show us like how much in the wilderness we still are. And you know, some of you know, you've given your life to God, right? You've left Egypt, but now you're still wandering in that wilderness, trying to get to the promised land. And so I was praying about what to share, and what I really wanted to remind you was that the cloud and the fire, they do not depart. They do not depart. God is with you. Many of you know that each New Year's, I tell the story about how in the Korean culture, children will bow to their elders and wish them life and health, and then the elders will give their children like a special blessing and maybe some money. And it's a really special time. It's a tradition. I don't keep very many Korean traditions, but that one I keep. Because in this world, we curse all the time. This world's filled with curses, filled with like words and actions that tear us down, right? And we need sometimes to hear blessings, right? Words of life that build us up, words of life that encourage us, that give us the strength to move forward. Our soul craves it. We need blessings. In the world of curses, we need blessings. And so I have brought this tradition into this church. Every year, every new year, I pray, the months before. And I pray over the congregation, and I'll go through membership lists and I'll pray. And this year it was through Facebook groups. And I ask, I'll ask God, hey, what blessing do you want to give to your people? What would you like people to know this year? Now this is where I will typically stop and say what a blessing is. Okay, a blessing is basically a joy now. This is biblically speaking. A blessing is a joy now that you get to experience because Jesus is in your life and you trust he's going to keep on showing up and keep on doing something. And so you try to experience these things now, right? These things now that God has in store for you even before you fully have them, right? So, a blessing requires some trust that a blessing is going to come through. But it's a joy now because of something that's going to happen then. Okay, a joy now because of something that's going to happen then. And they require trust. And they're hard, right? Because you have to hold on to them. But I do feel like I've received a blessing I'd like to share with you. The first part of this blessing is the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Like the people of Israel traveling in the wilderness, the Lord is with you. And sometimes when we act like when we're lost in the wilderness, God isn't there. We act like because of our attitudes or the things that we've done, that God's no longer present in our lives. But that's not true. Sometimes we act like because we deal with addictions, that God has abandoned us, but that's not true. God is still present. Sometimes because we feel like we're lost and we don't even know what our relationship with our church really is anymore, or our relationship with God because there's doubts and you're trying to sift through this data of information, God is still with you. No matter how lost you feel, God is with you. No matter how much you might feel like you have failed, God is with you. As it is with the Israelites in the wilderness, the cloud and the fire do not depart. The cloud and the fire do not depart. God is with you. It's Romans. I feel like I say this a lot. Romans 38-39. I don't know why, but this is a verse I keep coming back to, and it's never actually been that, but maybe it's just been a verse for these last few years, but For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. Okay? Nothing separates us. God is with you. You're lost, but God is with you in your lostness. Okay? Receive that blessing where you're at. How far from God you might feel you are. God has bridged that distance. And God is with you. All right, this is part two. This is part two of this blessing. The Lord goes before you. The Lord goes before you. Just like as the Israelites are leaving Egypt for the promised land that they don't even know, like they're, you know, if the Israelites were just leaving, like they might not know how to get there, right? But the Lord went before them. You don't have to know the way. The Israelites didn't have to know the way. They just had to follow God, that pillar of clouds or fire. They just had to follow that. The Lord goes before you. The Lord goes before you. And they didn't have to worry about provisions. Okay? They didn't have enough food. They didn't have enough water. Honestly, all the things of their old life really just weighed them down and caused problems later on. Right? So the things of this world often only make the journey more difficult. But the Lord goes before you, ahead of you. And you don't have to worry about your safety. The Israelites didn't have to worry about their safety as they were traveling because the Lord went before them, right? Making a path, assuring them that they will reach their destination, that there is a promised land that they're going to. The Lord is before them. This is Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured on the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right. Throw off everything. Throw off the things of this world. Keep going. Keep running. Right? Because as like I said, fixing our eyes on the Lord. The Lord's before us. The Lord is before us. He's preparing a way. Follow the Lord. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to always know like how things are going to work out. You just have to be faithful. The Lord goes before you. The Lord goes before you. And this is part three of the blessing. The Lord is preparing a place for you. The Lord is preparing a place for you. Because you're actually going somewhere, right? Right? This life actually leads somewhere. The trials on this journey through this wilderness, they actually have consequences. They matter because you're going somewhere. You're on a journey. Don't take your eyes off of eternity. Don't take your eyes off of eternity. The Israelites weren't just wandering in the wilderness, right? They weren't just wandering. They were being shaped. They were being prepared. They were being prepared for the place that God was bringing them. Your life matters. Your choices matter. How you respond matters because you're on a journey. The choices you make influence what the journey is like, right? Now, I say influence because, like, obviously, like, other people's choices influence your choices too. But we're not automatons. Our choices matter. Okay? Don't take your eyes off of eternity because there's actually someplace you're going. There is a place at the end. There is a place at the end. You're not just wandering. You're just not following God saying, okay, God, I don't know. I'm just lost. I'm following you. You can trust that God's going to take you someplace. Someplace that he has prepared for you. Our journey has an end. That end is with the Lord. John 4, 2. My Father has many rooms, and if that were not so, I'd have told you that I'm going there. Would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may be also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. Okay. Right? So, the Lord is with you, right? The Lord is with you. The Lord goes before you. And the Lord is preparing a place for you. That's all right here in this John 14 passage. And so, I know that this is a hard time. This has been a year where a lot of us have struggled with mental health issues, that a lot of us have struggled with financial issues, that a lot of us have just struggled with loneliness issues. But receive this blessing. The Lord is with you. The Lord goes before you. The Lord is preparing a place for you. Men of the church, men of the church, and this church is a lot broader, right, because this is going out on the internet. The men of the church, I know that we often suffer from loneliness at the best of times, at the best of times. At the best of times, many of us feel isolated. But at this time, we're more alone than ever. And in isolation, often we can hear voices that tell us things like, you're not man enough for this. You're not man enough for their job. You're not man enough to be a good husband. You're not man enough to be a good father. You're not man enough to do the things that you need to do. I want you to remember that Satan's name means accuser. And receive the blessing. The Lord is with you. The Lord goes before you. The Lord is preparing a place for you. Women of the church, know this. You're not what you contribute. Many of you are bearing additional responsibilities during this time, right? The weight of the household, schooling, and family care when everybody's at home. In addition to trying to manage a professional career, many of you are suffering from the weight of societal expectations, which are like impossible to meet at the best of times. And this is far from the best of times. Our society almost trades on the guilt of women. And I pray that during this year, you find some ways to lay that burden down. That we can help you lay some of that burden down. And I pray that you receive this blessing. The Lord is with you. The Lord goes before you. The Lord is preparing a place for you. Elders of the church, at the best of times, we fail to honor and remember you. But this year, you've been especially vulnerable. You have been isolated. Your wisdom and your experience have gone to waste. And I pray that you know that we're walking down the paths that we have inherited from you. And so we need your experience and your wisdom. Receive this blessing. The Lord is with you. The Lord goes before you. The Lord is preparing a place for you. And last but not least, children of the church. I know that oftentimes you feel like an afterthought. Even in this list, right, you're the last. You feel you don't really have a place or a voice. And I know that many of you are juggling with the beliefs and attitudes of your friends and teachers and society and the church and your family. And many of you are starting to sort through these things, right? They're starting to figure out like, which part of these do I believe? Which part of these are really me? I pray that you can see the truth, that you receive the blessing, knowing the Lord is with you, the Lord goes before you, the Lord is preparing a place for you. Holy Father God, Lord, we confess that wildernesses are hard, but I pray that we receive your blessing and that we continue to walk with purpose and with strength the path that you're laying before us till we find a home with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.